Arizona Sports.
Here we go, fellas.
15-year NFL veteran Lorenzo Alexander joins Wolf and Luke.
A guy who epitomizes class, integrity, and is a true gentleman.
The Lowdown.
Right, hour number two of the show, live from the Auction Community Studios. It is Wolf and Luke, and it is the Lowdown on a Wednesday. Lorenzo Alexander in studio here as we look ahead now, Zoe, to this Sunday coming up and the Dallas Cowboys. And we obviously all had them in our top five earlier. It's kind of unavoidable with what they have done. Is there a way? Is there a path here for the Cardinals to pull off an upset? I know it would be a big upset. I haven't looked at the line. I'm sure it's not kind to the Cardinals.
Big play on special teams, maybe a return, probably three or four turnovers. You got to equal whatever that defense is going to do potentially to the Cardinals' offense. So I guess I say they got to protect the football, take it away, and find like a special play somewhere. Maybe it's a couple of shots like we saw with the Giants last week, a special teams play, maybe a block punt. Just something that's going to energize and shift the game, because this Dallas defense is, I mean, just on another level right now, the way they're playing. And so you have to overcome them. I mean, they're scoring points on defense. So
yeah.
you're not just worried about their offense scoring, you're worried about their defense scoring. And it just is what it is, which we've seen for the first 2 weeks. And, you know, people were all, you know, up in arms the first week when they were dinking and dunking. I mean, you're going to see something very similar game plan. Because, you know, you got Lawrence, you got Micah Parsons. It's going to be, hey, let's get these dudes running sideways, get the ball, max protection. It's not going to be pretty,
yeah.
Right? So you gotta make this game ugly, physical. Don't try to drop back and put it in Dobbs' hands, right? Run the ball, James Conner. Like I said, I would always run at Micah, put double team him,
yeah,
right? Make him work. Don't run away from him because he's too athletic.
Yeah,
he'll chase everything down,
yeah.
Wrap it up. Run it right at him, make him point and cut. And, hey, you two dudes, block him. Maybe you three guys, block him.
Side of the team.
Yeah, whatever that is. Whatever that looks like. But you have to make the game physical. Get him kind of maybe off his game early, right? I think guys oftentimes try to make that splash play. But if you can maybe hit a guy in the mouth early, double team him, knock him off the ball, have a couple of good successful plays running his side, then you come back with some play action, you can kind of get the ball rolling. But you definitely got to clean up the jumping off sides. And then defensively, obviously Dallas hasn't, their offense hasn't been able or hasn't had to do anything, really.
Yeah.
But obviously Pollard is still explosive, and CeeDee Lamb is explosive as well. And you cannot allow them to have any explosive plays.
Yeah.
You have to keep them in front of you and really make Dak and this offense do something, right, and sustain a drive. And so I think they have enough defensively to potentially do that, but they have to fix it, especially on the back end.
Do you think there's ever going to be a day where Micah Parsons will change the game of football the way that Lawrence Taylor changed the game of football?
I mean, he's doing that now. We're watching it.
I mean, do you think people will be looking for a Micah Parsons?
Yeah, I mean, everybody. Yeah.
Two.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's the new era of the outside linebacker, rush in type of guy. I mean, I think LT changed the game in that, and then you've had guys that are very similar to that, you know, whether it's Vaughn or
DeMarcus,
always looking for that guy that's like a linebacker type, but they really just rush the passer and just create havoc, right?
Yep.
And we've had those guys here and there throughout it. I think Micah's just the next in line of that lineage that LT created. That is just extremely impressive to watch how big he is, how fast he is, how instinctual he plays. He's just everywhere all the time. And so it's a guy that you have to know where he lines up at. And what I like about Dallas, they just don't put him on the left side or put him on the right side. They'll put him in the middle, you know, over
they
one of your guards. They move him around. So you really never know who's going to get that work. And that's probably one of the most fearful things probably as an offensive lineman, because normally you can walk in the game away. Right tackle, man, you got to worry about him this week. I don't got to worry about him. Have a great day.
Well, that was like LT.
Yeah.
He knew where LT was going to be. He's going to line up as the right defensive end.
Right.
for the defense.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to line up over that left tackle. Yeah. You knew where LT was going to be.
So you knew all week the left tackle was going to be. The left tackle knew too. Yeah.
And it made it maybe a little bit easier. Even that just shows you how dominant LT was, right? But you can chip it in, right? You can keep it tight end. But when he comes down to that inside, okay, how do we attack him? I don't know where he's going to be at. Who's going to be the chip, right? Are we going to slide the protection to him? Well, we got to worry about DeMarcus Lawrence, too. We got to worry about these other tackles. So it creates, when the coordinator has the ability to move him and is willing to do that, and he's willing to do that, and can produce anywhere, whether it's at D-tackle, by alignment, or edge, it's really hard. And that's why he's so productive, because you can't dial up a scheme to stop him because he's everywhere, you know. All at once, it feels like sometimes.
He's basically two players, isn't he? I mean, he's like, you move him to the inside, he's a different player. Move him to the out. There's not, you would know better than me on this, but I don't see a lot of other defensive players around the league right now where you're like, oh, okay, that guy's basically doing two jobs every week or more, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, they just do a good job of finding ways to exploit the weaknesses of that offensive line in their protections. And if that means moving Micah over center, they'll do that. That means putting him at the left or right guard over as a tackle, they'll do that. And so he's an end, like on first and second down, but on that third down package, you just don't know where he may be. And it causes a lot of issues for guys because you don't know how to slide the protection from one third down to the next.
I'm wondering how many max protections we might actually see from the Arizona Cardinals.
You better dial it up.
Look, if you're going to take shots, and I think you have to still do that. I think it would be a mistake not to take your shots. Now it's got to be a situation where you pick your spots as to where you're going to do it. You just can't do it willy nilly. Of course, you got to pick your spots, but. You know, I think, man, go max protection and let Hollywood try to run by somebody.
Yeah, that helps. And that's why the run game is so important, because then you create some indecision, especially if it's, you know, second and five, second and four. Are they going to run it or take a shot? They've had success running the ball.
And it's the one thing they don't do great defensively.
Right.
Stop the run.
Yeah, and so if you can create a little bit of hesitation, and that's all you need sometimes. Okay, I got the extra click, I can get the ball off. Maybe I'm getting hit still, but at least I'm getting the ball off versus taking a sack or a strip fumble, and he's impacting the play more than it needs to be. So those are like the little things, like the game within the game that matter, play calling matter, being effective, right? Oh, they just ran a inside zone for three. Man, can we for 3 yards? Can we pass the ball? No. That's setting Micah up. So when he sees that same look, now he thinks it's a pass, right? Or no, it's a boot. So you have to keep guys off schedule, but you got to stay ahead of the chains as an offense while you're doing that.
Yep.
Join Burns and Gambo this Friday at Sanderson Ford as they will be giving you your last chance to win a road trip. See the Cardinals in San Francisco. Be among the first 50 fans to arrive, and you will receive an exclusive limited edition State 48 Dawn of a New Era t-shirt. Head to the contest page on arizonasports.com for complete details. And when we come back, we got Zoe for one more segment. So we're going to try and figure out how the Cardinals can potentially come up with something to replace Buda Baker for at least the next 4 weeks. That's next. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
The energy and passion he brings to the game is something I think that's contagious.
Intercepted by Lorenzo Alexander. Now he laterals to Aqib Talib.
You talk about a great pro that you wish every one of your players would emulate.
He's one of those guys, he's like a lunch bell guy.
That blue collar of pills are coming to work. He's going to outwork you every single play.
15-year NFL veteran Lorenzo Alexander joins Wolf and Luke to give us the lowdown on the Cardinals and the NFL.
All right, we get Zoe for one more segment here. So I want to get into the injuries that the defense is dealing with, Zoe, and specifically Buda. I know we talked about him briefly earlier. But it's not just what he does on the field in terms of leadership on a team like this. Mm-hmm. Wolf and I were talking yesterday, like Kaiser White, you know, seems like he's a pretty strong leader. Now, Zaven Collins, it's not like they don't have anybody else that knows how to lead, but Buda Baker's different. So mid-season, how do you replace something like that in the room?
I mean, you don't replace him. You can't replace him. And he'll still be in the meeting rooms and talking to guys and being in the building. But when a guy, his presence isn't on the field, it's a significant this hole that you can't feel. And it's really hard to describe, but you know, if you have a guy that, you know, you go into work every single day with, right, you know, they're going to show up and do their job and do it at a great level. You feel really good when you're around them for some reason. And when they're not there, you notice that they're not there. Right.
Yeah.
That's essentially what Buddha is going to be like when he's not on the field. Cause you still see him at work every day, see him at practice, you hear his voice, but then when you show up on the field, it's like, hey man, Buddha ain't out here. Right. And he's not, you don't get his playmaking ability. You don't maybe get those words of encouragement that he may give you when you're out on the field, or maybe a check from play to play. Because I think people don't realize that this adjustments don't just happen when you come to the sideline. Right. You may get beat with a play, and most teams will go right back to that same play. And Buddha's whispering, hey, let's do it next time like this. Right. In the middle of the play. Right. Or his eyes, his vision before the snap, it comes out. Hey, alert. And that's what the play is. Right. And so you miss that aspect of who he is, his intelligence, his ability to impact, and the way he makes you feel as a player, confident, right? If you a corner and you got Buddha Baker behind you, you feel a little bit different than a guy that may be just getting off or you sign, right? Playing behind you like, oh, okay, I don't know. I got to really lock down. It's more anxiety on you because I don't have Buddha behind me. So all those little things add up to I guess less effective play from a defense when you miss one of your star players that is of the same ilk as a Buddha Baker.
Yeah, and one of the things I love about it as well, Zoe, is Buddha Baker, just by going out on the field and playing like Buddha Baker, running into the darkness, right, just playing like Buddha Baker, immediately challenges you.
It's that mentality.
As a man standing there on the sideline. You might be the offense. You're out there. You're sitting there watching your defense playing, and Buddha's running into the darkness, just waylaying people all over the place. That challenges you as a man to go out there and do your job the way he does his job. And if you're not doing it, why not?
Yeah. Exactly. And then from an offensive standpoint, the opponent you're playing, that's one less dude I got to worry about. I feel comfortable now maybe running over the middle as a receiver because I'm not worried about this crazy dude who's going to try to run through me. Or as a running back hitting the hole, I don't have to worry about this crazy dude that may come out of nowhere and jack me up. I mean, and from obviously a coordinator, okay, I don't have to worry about Buddha this week as far as a tackle. Okay, we're fine going there. All right, I don't have to worry. So it actually opens things up for an opponent just feeling more comfortable in their willingness to do certain things, where normally it's like, should we do it? You put that little bit of hesitation in their mind, which allows for obviously the Cardinal defense to make more plays.
Right. Nothing like making Dallas more comfortable as they come into Phoenix here. This is Nick Rollis yesterday talking about one guy who they might lean on for some of the leadership, at least, and that, of course, is Kaiser White.
I don't think anyone's going to replace Buddha Baker as a leader. I think guys are going to be themselves, and I think we have enough leaders throughout the defense that there's not going to be a void in leadership. But no one's, hey, you got to be Buddha now until Buddha. No, it's not that. I want guys to be themselves and not try to be someone that they're not. But I think we have a group of leaders and a group of just good teammates, whether they look at themselves as leaders or not, that will be fine.
So I really played that cut just so I could ask you about Kaiser White.
What you've
seen from him. Yeah, I mean,
I like the way he plays the game too. I mean, he flies around. Mm-hmm. How big is he? He looks smaller on the field, but he plays physical and big, right? Just running around, hitting cats, going around blocks, getting to the ball. He always finds a way to get off blocks and get to the ball. And he just plays big in the middle. And I've really enjoyed watching him move around and fly around, too. I mean, even with it was illegal, but the Sam Howell hit. Right. There we go.
Okay.
It's West Virginia.
And he consistently does it, week in and week out. You know, through these first 2 weeks, as just far as getting to the ball, being a physical presence, and hunting up guys. And I like that about him. He brings that demeanor of dominance and physicality that you want from your middle linebacker.
You know, one of the big things I thought happened in the second half of that Giants game to the defense was the defensive line.
Yeah.
The defensive line and the rotation of the defensive line, and especially when Carlos Watkins. Carlos Watkins he's this guy in two games right now. He was a starter to me the way he was playing. He was playing so well, I thought. for this defensive line. And Carlos Watkins, when he went out of this game and all of a sudden there were four guys in that rotation, you know how tough that
is. It gets hard.
A defensive line. And you could see it, I think, in that fourth
especially
quarter.
The Giants, they were leaning on them, too. I mean, they were running the ball, running the rock, and then they went to the play action more so than anything because the run was working so well. So they just kind of set them up. They started running a ton of, like, RPOs or run-pass conflicts, as we call it, from a defensive perspective that allowed the Giants to kind of get into this rhythm. And because they were tired, they never was able to get any of those negative plays early to maybe get them out of that type of offense. And so, to your point, that definitely you could tell as the game got deeper, the line of scrimmage for the Cardinals started getting pushed back in the wrong direction over time.
Just on Watkins, too, Jeremy Fowler tweeted out this morning, the bicep injury from week two is going to require surgery. Per source, could miss significant time. So that's
a bicep.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
today, when Jonathan Gannon spoke to the media, he was asked about that. Here this was.
There's a report out about Carlos Watkins needing surgery. He could miss significant time. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, just that.
Well, that, I was hoping he was going to shoot it down. He really did not.
I hate that for that dude. Seriously, he's playing so well, man.
Him and LJ Collier are already out. You know, those are two guys you were hoping maybe could be something here.
Lucky Fotu was playing so well, too.
So you factor in the injuries on defense. You factor in it's Dallas and San Francisco coming to town. The one thing that I really liked about the first 2 weeks was the attitude this defense plays with.
Right.
How do you keep that attitude going, even if these are both losses coming up? Because you're facing two really tough teams. Yeah. I mean, you're not going in thinking that, but let's say they do. Let's say they go 0-2 and they're 0-4. Can they keep that attitude on defense?
You can keep that mindset, right? That's a choice that you make when you show up to work every single day, regardless of what's going on around you. The hard part is at some point, right, the reality is if you keep getting deeper into the depth, right, because of injuries and guys who are just not ready to be out there, right? When you're losing games, it's hard to overcome. Like, man, we got to still be physical. We still got to show up. Yeah. We still got to do this. We don't have the talent, right? And that's hard to overcome. And so, again, it's going to go to the leadership. I know Dennis Gardeck is going to play the same way regardless, right? Kaiser White is going to play the same regardless. And that's where the leadership has to come into, regardless of whoever steps on this field and regardless of whatever our circumstances look like on the scoreboard, what are you representing? Who are you, right? Are you is who you are predicated based on the scoreboard, or who is who we know you to be? And that's the type of thing you got to have. You got to respect a guy like a Dennis, right? He calling you out on that. All right, I'm playing. I got to play hard, right? Because everybody doesn't innately have that about them.
Oh yeah,
but they got a couple of guys on that roster that can keep the team together long enough to maybe hopefully get some of the guys back, play well, and just always be reminded, right, you're representing something much bigger than this scoreboard. You're representing yourself when you step on the field. Every time I stepped out, I wanted guys to respect me and understand how I was going to bring it regardless. Regardless, right? Because it's hard to win this league. So I can't be predicated on wins or losses. I gotta play based on who I've been made to be, I've cultivated, the investment that I've put in, right? I'm not going to just waste that because of score, but I'm going to still go out here. Amen. I'm going to give you everything I got. You're going to have to worry about me, right? You may still win, but you're going to know you played our team. You're going to feel it. Right. So, and that's just the way you got to approach it. And that's what's so unique about football. I mean, you have to be in that mindset regardless, or you end up getting hurt or embarrassed. Right. And you don't never want to leave the field with that type of feeling.
So, Zoe, would you play this game in an alley?
Always, man. I mean, you
wanted to play in front of the crowd, didn't
man.
You?
You know, it's a from couple Oakland. Of guys. Yeah, Oakland. And I was around some old school dudes
you did
that
played
different, right? You know, so it didn't matter. Like, I tore my bicep. I'm still out here playing. Not to say that his injury, because you need surgery, is different, right?
Yeah.
I got an axillary nerve. I'm still out here playing. I always felt compelled. I had to play regardless of what was going on with me, regardless if we were, I've been on some 3-13 teams. When a team walked off the field, they're going to say, man, that 97 or that 57 or whatever number I had on that time, woo, right? And that's just how I had to play if I wanted to be in this league. That was just my mentality and how I had to go about my business, the way I was brought up.
Ditto.
So you have to, if you can embody that, especially good players, that's what Hall of Fame players are. But they just have more talent than I do, and they have that same mentality. But if you can embody that mentality, you can play in this league a long time, because you actually do more losing than you do winning for the most part.
Yeah.
And if you can embody, I'm going to show up, be physical, I'm going to be a professional, be a great teammate every single day, people can trust that. I can lean on you. I want you in my foxhole. I want you in that alley walking with me. And you can be extremely under-talented compared to everybody else and play in this league double-digit years if you choose to do that.
This is why we have Joe in here every year. Yeah. So thanks a lot, man. We appreciate
always.
It. Always. Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. We come back. D-backs won last night. Zach Gallen still didn't look right. Are you concerned at all? Plus, we're going to get you ready for the final game of the quick D-backs Giants series, which is coming up in about an hour with our keys to the game next. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball. We're checking in on the Diamondbacks as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, brought to you by Sonic. Try the new Sonic $2.99 Buffalo Chicken Dip Bites for a limited time, only at Sonic. And by 72 Sold. 72 Sold. Get a higher price for your home.
Yeah, we got D-backs and Giants, game 2 of 2, coming up here in about an hour and 5 minutes from Chase Field. Wolf, so quick follow-up to last night. I mean, you have a chance to deliver a quick 1-2 punch to the Giants and then send them on their way in less than 24 hours.
Oh, boy, man. The opportunity is certainly here, and the hard work has got to be done first.
Let's start with the pitching matchup. It's a good one. Logan Webb is very good for the Giants. 10-12 on the year, but a 3.31 ERA, 183 strikeouts. Merrill Kelly on the mound for the D-backs. 11-7, 3.45 ERA, 172 strikeouts. Kelly, we've talked about this at length, has been really strong all season. Two of his last four starts have not been good. The 7 runs against the Dodgers on August 29th, and then to me, the surprising one, because he bounced back from that against Colorado and the Cubs, was 7 runs in New York against the Mets last Thursday. So he's looking for a bounce back.
Yeah, it's interesting right here. Both these pitchers, too, taking the ball. You know, Logan Webb, of course, a guy that loves to have a little sink on that ball, a guy that produces an awful lot of ground balls. And I think Merrill Kelly. And we all know Merrill Kelly and what Merrill Kelly is capable of doing. But this right here is a huge game for Merrill Kelly. Taking the ball once again, knowing that this is a huge game. I can't wait to talk to Mike Hazen. We're going to talk to Mike Hazen in about 10 minutes, yeah, right? We're going to talk to him in about 10 minutes, and I can't wait to ask him about this. You know, just the fact, do you think that last night's game was the biggest game of the season? I think we all expect him to say, yeah, it was, but who knows? Maybe
I think he's going to say today is the biggest game of the season.
Maybe it would. If last night was the biggest game of the season, so is this.
Yeah.
Today has got to be the biggest game of the season. And you can bury the San Francisco Giants from catching you for the most part if you're the Diamondbacks.
This is the Diamondbacks' last National League game of 2023. Other than, you know, if you make the playoffs, you're going to be playing National League teams, certainly. And also, we're going to get more into this later on. We're kind of up against it right now. But Zach Gallen didn't really bounce back last night. Like, he wasn't bad, but he still didn't look like Zach Gallen. He was okay until that last inning that he pitched, but we'll get more into that in the second half of the show. Let's get to the injury report. It's brought to you by the Arizona Department of Health Services. The first step to help is 3 numbers away. Call, text, or chat 988 to access the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. Really not a whole lot as far as injuries to worry about here with D-backs, and that is a good thing this time of year. Wolf, they've dealt with their fair share of injuries. It's not like they're getting off easy, but they have managed, and maybe some of this is how they manage their lineup, which drives some of us crazy some days, but they have managed to get to this point in the season where it is September 20th. They're in a wild card spot. They're actually in the second one right now, and they're relatively healthy, too.
Yeah, you know, and you got to really be thankful for that right now, that the Diamondbacks are as healthy as they are right now. And you could just see it last night, Alex Cobb and that hip coming into this game. His left hip was a questionable situation right right there. He's been dealing with it. And, of course, he does what a professional athlete does. You go out, and even though you're not 100%, you're going to take the ball. You're going to go out there. You're going to give everything that you've got. And you could see it. He was going out there. I give him a lot of credit, Alex Cobb, to walk out there and do what he did, because you could tell he wasn't right. And yet he still went out there and tried to perform for his team. And in the end, it cost him.
Let's get to the keys to the game.
Listen, man, I need you to be the key master.
I am the key master.
Arizona Sports, the home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball. D-backs keys to the game. Driven by Trucks Only, the Valley's number one independent dealer and home of the lifetime engine warranty.
I'll tell you, Wolf, one of the keys to today's game, I think, was on display from the Diamondbacks in last night's game. Zach Gallen didn't look like an ace last night. He has pretty much his whole time here. I know that's not like a cause for alarm, but they didn't depend on that. They didn't come into the game and be like, okay, we only need one run because Gallen's pitching. They went out there and they picked Zach Gallen up. And so I'm hoping they don't have to pick up Merrill Kelly today, but I would like my hitters to go in with the same mindset. It's like you've been saying, don't get caught up in what your teammates are doing. Just go out there and do your job. Last night they did that. Yeah. Gallen gave up runs and they just outscored San Francisco.
Yeah, for me, I would say the key to the game is run the bases with the aggressiveness that you did last night. I mean, honestly, I just think there is so much pressure that the Arizona Diamondbacks can bring to a defense. And guess what? The Giants' defense folded. They did. You forced some errors of the San Francisco Giants by running the bases and being aggressive doing it. And that's part of who this team is. And we've seen it from time to time during this season where they're at their best when they're being aggressive on the base paths. And I realize, you know, okay, you don't want to run into outs. You don't want that to happen, but man, there's a mentality and a mindset that comes along with this that I really appreciate, well, and I think most fans do.
Other teams' pitchers, catchers, and second baseman or shortstop seem so frazzled when they try to steal bases right now that they're not running into outs. They're just forcing more errors from the other team. Maybe that's why the D-backs have less errors than everybody else, because they're forcing the other teams to make errors. Quick standings, D-backs right now, the number two wild card, half game up on the Cubs, one game up on Miami, game and a half up on Cincinnati, and now 3.5 up on San Francisco. All right, what has been the strength of the D-backs lately as they make this push to the playoffs? We're going to ask their general manager, Mike Hazen, joins us next. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Wolf and Luke Middays, Front Office Focus with Wolf and Luke. Presented by Redbird Farms. Redbird Farms Chicken, what real chicken tastes like.
Yeah, this is fun. 10 games left in the regular season, including one in about an hour from Chase Field. D-backs, Giants, the final game against the National League team all season. That's a weird
hold on,
schedule.
Man. Here we go.
Big win last night, and the D-backs general manager, Mike Hazen, joins us right now on the Arizona Sports Line. Mike, thank you for the time. How are you doing?
Doing well. If anyone wants to blow off work, now's the time to come down to Chase Field.
that's well, pretty
I wasn't talking about you, Wolf. I wasn't talking about you. You got to work.
Yeah, Wolf just ran out the door the second you said that, actually. Mike, let's start. Let's actually start with the Cubs series. You know, Wolf and I were both pretty high on your team coming into this season, so there's not a whole lot that has surprised me this season, but responding to the way that Mets series ended by sweeping the Cubs, I'll admit that kind of surprised me. Did that surprise you at all?
I mean, anytime you sweep somebody, it surprises you. I think we swept the Rockies earlier in a 4-game series. But how many? I can't even think of another sweep that we maybe have one more. Like, it surprises you when you sweep a major league team, because when you're on the other side of it, like it's hard to get swept and it's hard to sweep. And we played really well. You know, that game on Saturday night was bananas. I don't know how many heart attacks I had during the course of that game. But it was fun to watch. And, you know, we are playing good baseball right now, and that's the one good thing that you like to see. Fortunately, we went through a period when we were losing, everybody else is losing, and now we're going through a period of winning, and everybody's winning. So it's going to push it right till the end of the season, I think. But the one thing I feel good about is that we're playing well. We're starting to swing the bats a little bit better. Our bats have been better. Our base running has been better. You know, the things that, you know, for the first 3 months we watched that we kind of got excited about, you know, the amount of pressure we could put on the other team. And then we sort of stopped getting on base for a while there, and it kind of, you know, it kind of mitigates that advantage. We're starting to see that again. And I think that's going to be an important thing for us, because we're not built to hit 3-run home runs all the time. That's not the way this team has been constructed. I don't think that's necessarily our strength. I think our strength is to just pepper you to death over the course of 9 innings, and that's what we've seen happen a little bit more. So it's yes, very, very happy with the way we played this weekend. Last night's game was huge. Today's even bigger. I'm going to say this 9 more times for the rest of the season. So every day is going to matter from here on out.
Yeah, you know what, Mike? That was going to be my question right now. I mean, last night, oh man, the juice and the vibe, the competitive vibe that I was feeling. Was last night the biggest game this team has played all year? Yes?
First of all, that what you're talking about, that's what we talk about in the last couple of years missing, right?
Yeah.
That feeling. The feeling that you have when you're watching that game of like, look, this is stressful and it's, you know, you get anxiety watching it. You have no control once the game starts.
But beautiful.
But that's right. That's what you miss. That's what you miss when you're not in it in September, when you're not in a playoff race. That's the exact feeling that you're missing even if you're watching a decent baseball game. We have that. Every game is going to continue to build in that way. Just because the amount of teams that are involved, this is the problem when you're chasing in this situation. Even if you're a game or two out, when you're chasing three teams and you have to sit and watch three teams lose, and right, very rarely in baseball is that going to happen on a given night. You know, you might get one team to lose, you inch up here, but you stay even with them. And so that's why that Cubs series was so important, is because it brought the Cubs back into the mix with us, where they had kind of gone with the Phillies a little bit there for a while. So I think the most important part of that was bringing the Cubs down in with us, and putting another spot up for grabs, not just have three or four teams playing for one, now five are playing for two.
We're talking to Mike Hazen. Mike, we had you on earlier in the year, and you talked about how you wanted this team to be a little more aggressive on the base paths, and now we're to the point, it's not just Corbin Carroll, but he's kind of the face of it, where when Corbin Carroll steals second or he gets on second, he just takes third, too. Or like last night, he'll just take third and home, and then Ketel Marte will come around, too. This is, to me, what separates you guys from the other contenders in the National League. It's just how aggressive and speedy you can be on the base paths.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would say, right, so you talk about stealing bases. It's not about stealing bases. I mean, that's a component to it. It's about being a good base-running team, and we put a lot of emphasis on it. Now, that's a tricky thing to navigate, because you can look dumb pretty quickly doing that if you're not doing it intelligently, because we all know the value of outs. You only get 27 of them on a given day, and if you start making them on the bases, you start handing teams freebies. And we never want to do that either. So I think the best part of how our coaches coach base running and our players respond to that coaching is that by and large, we're a pretty intelligent base running team, combining that with the speed. And I think that's what makes it so dangerous, not just the raw speed. You have to have instincts. You have to make the right decisions. Because outs on the bases cost you tremendously, but you have to see risks. So those risks have to be calculated, and I think we do a good job of that.
Mike, what has happened to this bullpen? Who do you credit for the bullpen pitching the way that they are?
Yeah, the coaches have done a great job of this group. The players have done a really good job of settling into roles. We said it at the trading deadline. One of the values of getting Paul wasn't just Paul. Having a closer is great. I think what Paul did was he pushed everybody into a spot. Mm. And I think that had a big impact on it. And I think, look, the guys in the front office here that scour, you know, the wire all the time for little pickups, you know, Thompson was a good, yep, really good pickup for us that we got as a minor league free agent. And, you know, Saul Frank is a great development story of a guy that's come through the system and, you know, it's just basically Stromme's been hammering me on calling him up all season, and I resisted for the first 5 months, but finally relented. And then seeing guys like Jarvis, we've always felt like Jarvis, Ciccone, those guys were going to come up at some point, given their arms, and have and be able to pitch in a meaningful way. And then Frias has gotten a lot better, and certainly Ginkle has yes. really turned the corner midseason. I don't know for him it's as much of a physical thing as it was a mentality shift, and he's done a great job with that. And he's that we know going back to 2017 and 18, the value of Archie in that eighth inning really helped a team be successful. Nice. Because that's where take out the closer, that's where a lot of games get won and lost. And he's really locked that down for us.
We're talking to Mike Hazen. Mike, you know, I'm assuming that I have to ask this. Things are going very well here. Boston has an opening. It's Boston, so obviously you are linked to it. Is that anything that's even on your radar right now? Do we have to be worried about this?
You have to do your job and ask, and I'll do my job and not answer. Look, we're focused on getting in the playoffs, and you know I was going to say that, and that's what I'm going to say. Like I'm very happy here. Look, we have a job to do to build this thing. We started where we started, and we've built up from underneath, and we have a lot of really good young players that are just starting to scratch the surface of their talent. I think our team is starting to scratch the surface of its talent. It's really, really fun to watch. And look, when you do these jobs, like building it is the joy, right? It, mm-hmm. Obviously, we all want to see it win. Don't get me wrong. Building it to a winner is what is the ultimate. But the building part of it is what motivates people on a daily basis to work in this game. To deal with the 3 hours of anxiety you get every night is watching guys like Corbin Carroll, Alec Thomas, Moreno, Brandon Pfaadt, all those guys come up and perform for us. That's the really fun part.
You know, Mike, I know you know me well enough where I'm not trying to kick you in the cradle by following up on this, but I am going to ask you, has there been any dialogue between you and the Diamondbacks on an extension?
I don't talk about those things, Wolf, one way or another. I tell the beat guys the same thing. Like, it's that my personal situation is not something. It's same with players and extensions. Like, I wouldn't answer that question one way or another.
For the record, neither would I, just so you know.
Then before we let you go, Mike, just to kind of get back to the team as it is constructed and what they're doing, Ketel Marte, I feel like, is a guy that we don't talk about as much, and he obviously had four hits last night, and just what he has done this season, how instrumental has that been for you guys?
Yeah, look, when you're a good team, you still need star players to perform like star players, and Ketel is a star player. And, you know, he carried us, I think, in that month of July. I know it started to get a little dry as a team, but he carried us for July offensively. And then, you know, with some of the other guys, it seemed like through that period in August when collectively we really struggled to hit. But this is kind of what I was alluding to earlier. We're starting to play better baseball. We're starting to see, you know, Tommy Pham and Ketel and Corbin walk. That the group of those guys that are in the middle of that lineup there, they're starting to drive us. And that's what has to happen in playoff baseball. The best players have to drive your team. Like on a lazy Wednesday in August, you know, your 7, 8, 9 guys definitely can win you a game on a getaway day. But when it comes down to the other team really starting to bear down from an advanced standpoint and isolating your weaknesses, that's when you need your star players to step up and play well. And those guys are doing that. And so that's why I feel good about where we're standing right now.
Yeah, on that note right there, Mike, any concern whatsoever on Zach Gallen and what you're seeing four out of this last five?
No concern whatsoever. Yeah. No concern. I mean, look, we have ridden his back for the majority of this season. We're still going through, you know, it's you're going to still have some ups and downs here and there. No concerns whatsoever. He's gonna be the one that's going to take us where we need to go if we're going to get there.
Well, Mike, we appreciate the time as always. All the best today and the rest of the way.
Mike.
All right, guys. Talk to you.
Thanks a lot. That's D-backs general manager Mike Hazen right there joining us. And I do all the respect in the world for joining us 40 minutes before first pitch.
Yes.
And also Mike Hazen, who called in when things weren't going well, when he wasn't even scheduled to call
yes.
in and was like, there needs to be some accountability.
He's an accountable guy, and he's a very transparent guy as well. And I love the fact that he just said, I don't want to answer that question. And you know what? Honestly, I've been in a situation, being a former professional athlete, of course, where I was asked questions and said, no, I'm just not going to answer that question.
The next time we have him on, I don't even think I'm going to ask him questions.
It's called no comment.
I'm just going to sit there and read off the contract situations they have here, the situation, like all the good. Like when he comes back on next time, I'm just going to be like, hey, did you just remember Corbin Carroll signed for 8 years? Hey, remember Gabriel Moreno's contract set up pretty well? Alec Thomas. Like, let's just spend the next interview reminding him how good it is here so he doesn't even think about Boston. Boston. Coming up next, we're going to take you through the top stories of the day with Wolf and Down Your Lunch. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
You've been listening to Diamondbacks Front Office Focus. Presented by Redbird Farms. Redbird Farms Chicken. What real chicken tastes like. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.